Oh my gosh, my dog, I just woke him up, and he's like, his eyes are like half open, he's like, Dad, shut up.
What are you doing?
I'm sorry, Ollie.
I've actually never seen the, the audio mixing go low like that on the line.
Really?
So, Nick, I want you to take me back here. We're going to talk about a movie. Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've done this, and I think we need to do more of this, where we revisit a movie that one of us has disliked to watch it with fresh eyes.
Yes.
When did you first see the movie Drive, directed by Nicholas Winding Refn?
It would have been 2011.
Okay. So the year it came out.
Pirated. Probably Kazaa.
Not true.
It would have been
right
after the aforementioned Script Shadow, who I just talked about in our last episode, who gave Zone of Interest a 1 out of 5. What the hell did I just watch? Gave Drive a genius 5 out of 5 perfect film rating, which he gives nothing. And I was like, holy hell, a movie that good by somebody I read constantly. I better see what this movie's all about. And I watched it, and I felt it didn't do what I thought it was going to do. I don't know if I was expecting
what
the
Fast and
the Furious.
What do you think it was going to do?
I don't know. I think I thought that it was, from the trailers, I thought it was going to be something different. I thought it was more,
okay.
I thought there'd be more driving than there was.
Next question. Did you join the class action lawsuit over the trailer for Drive? Are you not familiar with this? You're giving me a look. Somebody sued the studio for making the trailer look too much like Fast and the Furious. They sued them for $8.99, the cost of their ticket price.
What?
You're not familiar with this. Yeah, no, this is exciting because, Drive, you're right. The trailer for Drive does seem much more action-packed, I will grant. I actually got what I expected out of it, so I'm curious. So, okay, so you watched it, and what were you, did you hate it? Did it just not work for you? What was it?
I think I was, this was 13 years ago. I think I just always want good, happy ending closure. I think that the violence was so startlingly graphic and gory.
It is a lot.
Back then I was just a good little boy, and I was like, they shouldn't be doing this kind of a thing. I disagree with this kind of a thing. And, for all of those reasons, I was like, I don't care for this at all. And so I was kind of jaded after that. But it was also that thing that we talked about a lot, is that when somebody just absolutely loves the living hell out of something, and then you see everybody else does too, you're like, well, I'm going to love this too. And then it's not the perfect thing. You kind of hate it more.
Sure,
and
sure.
It's funny you mentioned the trailer thing, because that's how I felt with No Country for Old Men when I first saw it, because the trailer makes it seem action-packed and big music and big sound effects, and then it's not...
It's not.
...that at all. Although it is free on YouTube right now, everyone, so go watch it, because it's a very good film. So I think there's, come on, you've been lied to in movies with trailers,
totally.
Haven't you?
Absolutely.
Everybody has.
Absolutely.
For goodness sake. So I think... Yeah, I think that I was expecting Ryan Gosling to have a character back then. I was like, he's just numb and neutral, and I had seen him...
The ultimate stoic character.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had seen him a couple years prior in Half Nelson, which is a very good independent movie, about an inner-city high school teacher who, does drugs, and one of his students find out. It's a very good indie film that he was in way back when. So I was kind of ready for that, but it just seemed like... Yeah... The complete stoicness. I didn't feel like there was an arc. I was like, well, nobody really changed, did they? He just kind of kept doing his thing. And then because Bryan Cranston was riding high with Breaking Bad, he was something so different. And I think all of those reasons combined, I am Captain Planet. And back then I just didn't care for it.
Okay. So you're the one who picked this one out. Did you have this inkling that you might have been wrong, or did you just want to give it another shot to prove that you were right? I mean, what were your thoughts? Keep in mind, this is Cinema Gush, but if you still hated it, I want to know about it. We can complain if you want to complain.
3 seasons ago, you and I had a conversation, and you mentioned how good Drive was, and I even went for the copyright strike, and that song is in that episode.
Hmm.
A real human being. As soon as you mention it, you hear the... dun, 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 dun. I put it very low, just in case we ever put it on YouTube and we get our video removed. I was like, let's
I do
just
think if you
fate.
Use a short amount, it's fair use, right? I think you, yeah.
You these days you'd be surprised. When I
know.
So
well,
I did a
look. Just because something's fair use doesn't mean you're not gonna get struck for it.
I got struck very recently because I did a really goofy TikTok, which I know is banned in your state, for Top Gun. But it was like me getting ready to write, and it was like making tea, making coffee, like, oh, like going upstairs, and it was this whole thing. And YouTube gave it a big strike for using Kenny Loggins' Danger Zone, even though it was like 11 seconds. But you had said back then, the scene that I bitched and moaned about was the elevator scene, which is very jarringly violent if you're not
it
expecting your guys
had
to be
violent.
Caved in. Because I was just like, well, then you can't, I mean, because even then, like, when that happened back then, I was just like, I'm like, clearly he's a loose cannon. He doesn't deserve to be with this girl and her son. And there's no reason for her to love him because he's insane. And you, like, that, and you said that was one of the most important pieces of
in fact,
character development in a movie ever.
I think it's one of my favorite scenes in any movie ever.
Come on, man. This is how they win, Rose. Are you serious?
I watched it get on the plane in preparation for this this podcast, and I was still struck by this scene. This scene Fs. I mean, it's just so good.
Oh, my wife's cousin Andy would say, this scene slaps. You can fit a whole lot of bullshit in this car. That's an outdated meme. But no, you had said that, and then we brought it up last season. And I was like, there it is again. Like, there's Drive again. And then I was reading a review. Oh, you know what it was? It was the trailer for Fall Guys. Where I was like, here he is being a stuntman again. I'm like, didn't he already do that with Drive? Wasn't that no good? And we had talked about it again. And I was like, oh, God, you know what? I know I'm missing something here. And this is, we'll talk more about this, but there's something about being in the mood and the mindset for what you're about to watch. And I think I miss that mark constantly. There have been movies where I've seen one time, wrote it off, and then I rewatched it, and I was like, no, like, what? No Country for Men was that. I was so wrong.
I know
wrong.
I've done it, too. Your mood makes a big difference.
It really does. I think, like No Country for Old Men, for example, I didn't like the movie, and then I read the book, and then I saw the movie, and I loved the movie. Like, it switched like that. And so I thought, maybe that will happen with this. And so it was a Thursday night, and it was just quiet, and I was like, I'm just gonna pop it on. And, you used a word that described it well, stoic. There's something about this movie that has captured a spirit of stoicism that is insanely popular in this country right now, kind of the revitalization through Ryan Holiday and others who really have studied the Stoics and their life lessons.
Or just Ryan Gosling's movies.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Barbie. what was that thumbs up just now on the screen?
I don't know. I was like, was it...
Did you see that?
I did see that.
Something. Am I crazy? Why does it do that?
I was wondering if it was like...
Show reactions. Let me see what happens here. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Sorry, folks. We just discovered the emojis on Skype. This is fun. I think, first off, the soundtrack.
Banger.
If you look up the theme song, it's got an absurd amount of views. It's really, really high. And that song really set the tone for, the entire movie, for what he was as a character at that point in time. There's something to the use of that song versus the real human being one in the end. It bookends itself in a really beautiful way. I had forgotten the robbery scene in the beginning where he just kind of like walks away from the car. I'm like, wait, are those guys getting arrested?
Maybe.
The cops are about to go in there. What's going on? It doesn't matter.
But hey,
we're following him.
You have 5 minutes. What happens to you before or after that 5 minutes is on you.
And I think, too, what this movie reminded me of was a movie I really loved when I saw in Austria, which was The Transporter with Jason Statham, back when I was a wee 18, 19-year-old lad, and just thinking Jason Statham was the greatest thing ever. I was like, here's another movie about another driver, and it just wasn't that either. So, let's see. I had completely forgotten Oscar Isaac was in it.
I did, too. I did, too.
For the little bit that he's in, he kind of steals it. He kind of steals the show. And then, yeah, just, like, there's the cinematography of it was so pleasant for so long. Just that simple driving scene with Carey Mulligan and the sun. Mm-hmm. It was just so nice.
Yeah.
And the music was good.
There are some feel-good moments.
Like, Yeah, and I think that was what it was. It was those good moments. I was ready for what the movie wanted to give me. And I think I was ready for the presentation of all of the pieces together. And I think that's what made this such a better watch. Because I think I was... I don't remember the entire first time viewing, but I'm sure I was half paying attention, walking in and out of the room. I'm sure I wasn't as engaged as I was when I watched it that night. And I was like... Oh, I was wrong about this one. Which is awesome. I love being wrong.
That's so much fun.
Yeah, it is, because it helps you, like, you grow. Because back then, like, my screenwriting and story knowledge was at a very basic level. You know, I wasn't quite, I think I kind of understood the beats of a film at that point. I think I kind of understood character development, all that. But this was a deeper, more nuanced level that I'm probably, I don't want to toot my own horn. I'm sure I'm there now. I hope I'm there now. Maybe. I'm sure I'll find out in the next month when I get my script rejected by every studio in town. But I think that I was ready for the presentation. I was ready for the performances. I think I saw more of an arc in his character from just like this stoic loner to being somebody who's open to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that love that he, you know, goes for in the elevator.
So let's talk elevator. Yeah.
Let's talk elevator. They were holding hands briefly for that moment, weren't they?
They held hands in the car earlier, and I don't know.
Oh, you know what it was? I'm sorry. He reaches his hand in front of her to protect her.
And he grabs her by the waist and leans in for the kiss.
And it was, and it was so good. I think, too, you know what else? The simplicity of the story. I imagine the bulk of the budget went for the leads that they got and not for anything else. Because it was in L.A., which, it's expensive to shoot in there anyway. The few stunts they did do, the way they shot the chase scene after the robbery goes wrong at the pawn shop was really well done. I don't see a lot of, like, it wasn't the TikTok editing, right? It wasn't the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift editing. It was like it took more of its time. And you could, like, there was more weight to it. It insists upon itself. So, that's an old Family Guy joke, which we'll talk about that at the end of this episode. So I think I was just more prepared for what it was.
What you're going
to
get.
This would be a great soundtrack to grab on vinyl, for sure.
I've considered it, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a great poster. I understand why everybody and their mom wanted that. You know, everybody and their dad wanted that jacket. The
dude, have you seen that Rory Kurtz poster? It's like again, as a collector of screen-printed movie posters, this is one of the grails. It goes for, you know, a couple grand every time. It's a beast.
Can't you just save the JPEG and print it on your color printer at home and be happy?
Hell no.
Sorry, that was so stupid.
All right, let's see. I'm going to send it to you. I'll try to remember to put it in the description, but if I forget, Rory Kurtz Drive. I wonder how much this is going for right now.
Isn't that nice? Oh, the hammer.
Yeah. That's a pretty poster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, eBay right now is going for $1,000, which is actually the cheapest I've seen it.
You're like, do I have that money right
I now? Am not buying a $1,000 poster. That's me telling myself more than I'm telling you.
Sure. I will say it's interesting that the movie is based off of a book and that the book originally took place in Scottsdale, Arizona. And so I kind of wish that would have happened because I'm like, I always want to see more stuff in Arizona. I'm sorry we haven't had tax incentives since 2002. But I would have loved to have seen it in Scottsdale because most people don't know this. There is a sequel book where he survives.
To the drives?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And it was interesting looking at the movie from that perspective of... Because I started reading the synopsis, too, and I was like, I should just read it. How he survives the events of book one. And so I was like, that'd be interesting. I mean, no, they're not going to make a drive, too. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
But that, to me, was like a more hopeful ending. Because the whole book is about
I think the movie has a hopeful ending.
I think so, too. I think so too. I think, but that's when I first saw it. I was like, "This is, he dies and drives away, whatever." And then he just keep on driving. He's gonna crash into people and kill people because he doesn't want to stop driving. He's a bitter boy. I'm sorry.
No, I get it.
Yeah, but this would be one to get on Blu-ray for sure.
Yes. One of the first Blu-rays I think I bought.
Really?
I think so. Yeah.
Hmm.
Sorry. I'm not sure about that.
Alexa isn't sure about that.
Alexa, does Brennan have $1,000 to buy a movie poster?
Alexa, do I have $1,000 to buy a movie poster?
From onestips.com. Prices for a U.S. movie poster start at $135 and top out at $12,908.
What on earth?
You got all that?
Yeah, I did. Did our listeners...
Apparently, American movie posters cost start at $125.
I don't know, man. It's funny just going to Walmart and just, like, flip through those little things they have and just...
So, in preparation for this, I watched it on the airplane. And I didn't realize that there aren't airplane cuts anymore. And there were...
Yes, that is, like, interesting that has completely gone away, yikes, isn't it?
Because I was feeling very uncomfortable a couple... I did some fast-forwarding just because, you know... I don't want to scandalize any children on an airplane.
Oh, the strip club scene. I totally forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Completely forgot about it.
Also, there's this moment that happens on an elevator where a guy's head is bashed in.
Oh, my god.
Anyways, the guy sitting next to me, major bro vibes, leans over and goes, "Have you seen that movie before? That movie's really, really, really good." I said, "Yeah, I'm actually watching it because my buddy hated it and we're doing a podcast on it." And he goes, "Huh." And then about 30 minutes later, I see he's watching it too. Then about 20 minutes after that, he pauses and he leans over to me, taps me on the shoulder and goes, "What's wrong with your buddy? Why did he hate this movie? This movie is so damn good. You tell him I said that. You tell him I said this movie's good and he needs to..."
This happened?
This happened, yes.
Holy crap.
This guy interrupted the movie like 8 times to tell me how much he loves this movie.
Was this to Florida? This has to be to Florida. This person does not live in...
This
person does not live in Montana. Come on.
No. But it was from Florida to Denver. So, to your neck of the woods. He actually might be your neighbor.
Do I know any Denver bros?
There's only got to be...
Gary
one
would agree.
Denver bros.
Okay, yeah. No, I think I do. All right. No, yeah. He probably... Yeah. Was his hair perfectly coiffed?
It was fluffy.
Mm. Okay, he's fluffy. A Denver guy. Yeah. By way of L.A., probably. Mm. It was just all those reasons. Like, I think it was more of a... I'll just say it was more of an immaturity that really made it difficult for me to like anything about the movie. But every frame of painting has an episode completely about Drive with the Quadra method that the director used. Which I had a much higher appreciation for after watching it.
Which method?
The quadrant method. So there's this rule of nines where you're shooting where it's like you turn the viewfinder into a 3x3 grid and you can put people in different perspectives there. His is just a flat quadrant. Like, that's it. Just 4 spaces.
Interesting.
And it's about where you put things in those 4 spaces. There's a couple... Go ahead and watch the YouTube video. It's pretty quick. But you can see some of the framing that he does. And you're like, oh, that makes it so much better.
Interesting. Is that because Drive does have more of a surreal feel to it? Is that part of that?
I think so. I think it was, if I could go with the mise-en-scene, my very limited senior year film theory, I think that things were broken up into the quadrants in the way that they were to show the separation of Driver from everybody else.
Okay.
Especially if you look at the way that things are framed. I think that was a big piece of it. And the way that frame, and the way that quadrants are crossed made things a very big deal. You're so unconscious to it going on that when you see it happening, you can't help but feel something.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Highly recommend that little piece.
Okay, so... The other thing I want to point out on my end of this movie, because I think I've gushed about this movie enough. If we piece together over the couple of years, I think you've got my gush. I was deeply, deeply pissed off that that Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close was nominated for Best Picture that year.
Oh my
and
gosh,
this was
here
not.
We go.
This is one of the years I saw every Best Picture nominee. And
oh yeah.
Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close was hot garbage.
Was hot garbage.
We just filmed the Oscar one. This is back to back, so there you go. And man, that is the epitome of sad porn, and I hate it. And you and August Rush can go rot in a pit. By the way, do you want to do one of those movies for my rewatch to see if I'm wrong?
Yeah, we'll have to figure out one. We'll have to figure out something from, like, high school days where you just
I hated as a kid, I really hated as a kid, is Contact.
We should do that one.
I'd be curious to give that one another shot.
Okay. I like this. It's like Reloaded is what we should call this. Yeah. Or I'll ask ChatGPT what another good title would be for, like, giving something a second chance. Even just calling it Second Chance would be fine.
And then maybe we can rewatch The Matrix Reloaded and see if we remember.
You know, Drive just didn't get nominated for Best Picture because there was something in the way. something extremely loud and incredibly close.
Son of a.
So there it is, folks. I actually would encourage you to watch Drive. I don't want kids around for it. It does get. If you know that there is some insane graphic violence coming, it might make it softer. I haven't seen his follow-up to that was Only God something.
Beyond the Pines? Was that him?
No, that wasn't him. It was, oh my gosh.
That's just a stoic Gosling.
Only God Forgives. That was the very next movie he did, which did not get as good of reviews.
Hold on. Only God Forgives. No, I don't know what I'm thinking.
Neon Demon.
Yeah.
Copenhagen Cowboy. Yeah, he hasn't really...
Don't put a lot out.
Well, I know that he's working now. He's like one of the main Sundance professors right now.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, Bronson. That's right. That was him. And Valhalla Rising. That's right.
Oh, I didn't know he did Valhalla Rising. Yep. My family's never quite forgiven me for watching Valhalla Rising with them. As soon as, have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Pretty early on. Yeah. Pretty early on, Mads Mikkelsen walks up to a guy tied to a rock and just casually slices his stomach open, reaches in, pulls his intestines out, and throws it on the ground and says, bye.
I'm in.
And then it just gets weirder from there.
Hmm. All right.
I enjoyed it. They still
and
talk
I
about
enjoyed
that day.
Drive.
Yeah.
So, what are you? You know, we haven't done this. We haven't done an episode in quite a while. What have you been enjoying as of late, man? Like, what's movies, books, shows,
okay.
Some music? Tell me what you've been loving.
So I went and saw Madame Web 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. Uh-huh. I had so much fun.
That's why I want to see it. I need to go see it with my bros and just have fun.
It was me and my buddy, John Riley, who's been on the podcast, mm-hmm. and his wife, just the three of us in the theater. We went, like, first thing on a Saturday, and we were the only three in the theater. There was this point where I said that... Because the editing is awful. I mean, it is so bad it's good. It's the first so bad it's good to actually get a major theatrical release in a long time, in my opinion. There's a
not Morbius counting or
Morbius was a slog for me.
Okay,
it was so bad. I didn't find it funny.
Okay, fair.
The editing, she's gonna see the future, right? Mm-hmm. And so they often show something happening where it's actually her having a prescient vision, but the audience isn't supposed to know it. And then they'll cut to her like 30 seconds earlier, and they're like, "What happened?" And they do this an obnoxious number of times. And so at one point I look over and I said, they are going to do this for 5 minutes straight one time and everybody's going to die. And then she's going to wake up and it's going to be fine. And John, my buddy, goes, what's the most stupid place this can happen? And he thinks, there's a diner in the trailer. It's going to happen in a diner. And I said, if it happens in a diner, I'll buy you an effing statue. Son of a. I
no
threw my
way.
Jacket across the theater. I owe this guy a statue now. I gotta get a statue that says, you are the real Madam Web. It's a 2-hour commercial for Pepsi. I mean, the product placement. I'm gonna spoil it. I'm gonna spoil the movie. The villain is defeated when a giant Pepsi logo falls on him. It's how can you hate that movie? I mean, so it takes place in 2003, and it's meant to. You can tell they really wanted to make it so that this is a prequel to the Tom Holland movies, but they didn't, like, MCU wouldn't let them just come out and say it, so that they just did it. If it was successful, they could say, yeah, this all happened in the MCU. Because it's just the right age for Tom Holland to be the right age in the MCU. Okay, so, takes place in 2003. Dakota Johnson's character steals a taxi at one point. And proceeds to drive it all over the city of New York for days on end. Also, cops are looking for kidnapping three young teenage girls. She needs to go back to her apartment, so she drives the taxi cab to her apartment. She gets out and she pops the license plates off and just leaves them on the ground next to the taxi cab. So, so if the cops drive by, they see a taxi cab with no license plates. Now, remember, they're looking for a taxi cab. They saw her steal the taxi cab. The license plates just leave it on the ground. Also, the taxi cab has a sign on the top of it that has the taxi cab number.
Oh, right? My gosh.
She then goes from there and decides that she needs to go to Brazil. And she goes to Brazil in this, much the same way that somebody would go to the grocery store. She's just suddenly in Brazil. And then she goes back to get these kids. And one of my favorite moments is when, like, there's no way she's in this taxi still, right? She didn't drive in a post-9/11 world to the airport, park an effing taxi with no license plates that the cops are looking for at the airport, leave for Brazil for 3 days, come back, get in the same taxi cab, and then drive back to her house and brother-in-law's house.
What the hell?
It's great, man. It's a great movie. I recommend it strongly.
Oh, this is just made my night. This is amazing. Oh, I'm so excited now.
Yeah.
This will be so good. Oh, this will be good for my heart.
And I'm totally craving for some Craven too. I'm all in now. The Spider-Man universe. You got my heart.
You know, once again, if they would have just stuck to the 90s Spider-Man cartoon, not even that would have saved this film. Holy crap.
There is another movie that I've seen twice now that I'm desperate to talk to you about, but I will hold off.
Come get your dinner.
I saw it again last night. Okay. And as soon as you see it, we are going to discuss Dune.
I have a bro date on Tuesday to go see it. And unfortunately, Kung Fu Panda 4 is knocking it out of the largest screen in the state.
So sad.
But I am very excited to go see it. We didn't deserve one, and I'm looking forward to not deserving two. So I will probably rewatch one this weekend, just in anticipation.
So I will state, 2 does change more than 1 did from the book.
Okay.
And that was a distraction for me a little bit the first viewing. I'm not going to say anything. But we'll do a podcast, right?
My gosh.
So next week, we're going to record it. Great. You let me know, and I'm there, because I have things to say.
Sweet.
I may see it a third time. I might go next Tuesday, too, you know?
Oh, my gosh. No, go see Kung Fu Panda 4. Oh, shoot. Okay, cool.
How about you, man?
Oh, gosh. Well, Drive. Drive was the big one, I think. I finished a book, The Well of Ascension by Brandon Sanderson. It's book 2 in the Mistborn series. Mm-hmm. It's very good. Yeah. I gave it 5 stars on Goodreads. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. It was very, very excellent. He has a way. Have you read any Brandon Sanderson before?
Mistborn,
I think. Okay. His books are tomes. They're massive. They're ginormous. They're like 1,200 pages. He has this way of building up to a moment. And when that moment happens, like, your mouth just falls open and you get the goosebumps. And, like, that happened in this book. And I just got so excited. It was, like, such a graphically violent thing to occur to one particular character. and it was such an amazing build-up that I wasn't even sure it was going to... Like, I didn't think it was going to happen. And then it did, and I was just like, oh... And then The Way of Kings has something like that, where, like, in my my updates on Goodreads, I was like, OMG, I can't believe this is happening. So the dude really is that big of a deal. Like, his writing really is fantastic. He is one that I try to study more. He's very, very good. So I read that book. I'm still crushing through Attack on Titan, the manga. I have 5 or 6 volumes to go. It takes a really, really strange right turn, but it's still very good. So that was awesome. What else did I see?
My problem with reading right now is I've started so many books, gotten halfway, and they're all important to me to finish, so I've just got to snowball. Yeah.
No, I'm with you. That's the thing with the audiobooks is, like, my only goal this year is to read one book, and it's The Count of Monte Cristo, which I'm really, really enjoying. Just reading a couple pages a night.
Yeah.
It's just really fun world building. It's so cool. I get all these books from the library after, like, 20 weeks of waiting, and then all of a sudden it's not on hold anymore, and, like, it's in my library. I was like, oh, I have 21 days to finish this, or it's going to... I'm going to have to wait again. No. So I did that. And I have to say, I'm really enjoying Tears of the Kingdom. I'm really enjoying Mario RPG. Those are great Switch games. I'm having a lot of fun with that.
I'll get to that.
But I have this craving. And it's a craving that happens every 3 to 4 years, just about.
Maybe a Craven?
Craven the Hunter. I have got to replay BioShock again.
The itch has gotten you?
It's the itch to go 1 through 3. I do it every 3 to 4 years.
And by 3, you mean Infinite, I assume?
Oh, yeah. I know I have seen the job postings for BioShock 4, so they clearly are working on it. That doesn't mean it'll ever come to fruition, of course, but they are actively, like, hiring for that job. And then I just saw a trailer for, what's his name, Ken, the creator of BioShock. He has a new game coming out, BioShock in Space. And I was like, I'm gonna buy a PS5 now.
Is that... Okay, is it, I'm dying to play Final Fantasy, right, 7.
Yeah, Ken,
you're not talking System Shock, right? Okay.
Judas is what it's called.
Did System Shock Remake ever come out?
Yeah, Ken Levine. Yeah, okay. Have you not seen the trailer for this?
No.
Okay. I will shoot it your way, because it's only like a month old. But I'm just like, yep, this is... I mean, it's... I desperately want to write a series that is as good as BioShock is. Like, the world building is so amazing. I love so much of the storytelling. I now sing my daughter the song from 3, which is Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Because it's a really nice song to go to bed to. And I'm just like, there it is. I gotta go back to Rapture. I gotta get my Adam and my Eve, and I gotta just get all my powers back, and I just gotta, like, fight some big daddies and save little sisters. Like, I gotta do it. That game just does something for me. Is that what Resident Evil 4 is like for you?
Probably. Yeah, probably.
Just every couple of years, you're like, I gotta play it again.
Yeah, you know? And I think... So, the BioShock gameplay didn't click with me as much as I think it did with a lot of people, but I think it clicks with people the same way Resident Evil 4 did click with me. It's got that snappy feel to it. You enjoy getting better and better and better until you're just an overpowered killing machine.
Yeah, which is what the new Zelda games are like, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because Tears of the Kingdom is not as polished as Breath of the Wild. It kind
of... I still gotta do it.
Don't hate me, anybody, but, like, it feels rushed in a lot of ways, and I get weird lag at different points. I'm just like, what the hell's going on?
I do wonder if that's just the fact that the Switch is very dated at this point.
It's got that FX chip, which is a Super Nintendo joke. But yeah, it's funny. I've seen, like, I think it's Mortal Kombat 11, like the Switch versus the PS5, and it's like, it's so funny to look at, because it's like comparing a Sega Genesis game. Well, that's not a good example. Mm-hmm. It's like comparing a Super Nintendo game to, like, a PS5 game. Like, it's that startlingly different.
Sure.
But the BioShock ports onto the Switch are fantastic, because I think the Switch is a bit more farther along than the Xbox 360 was.
Totally.
So I might actually play them on the 360, because my little brother has 3. And Andrew, I think you have got to beat those games so I can have them back. But you take your time; it's fine. So yeah, I have that itch, man. I've got to play BioShock again. It's too good. I gotta have that game back. It's simply too good. to play Bioshock again. I really want to.
That fish bumped you out of the water for a reason, and it has to be this.
Why do the haters hate it so much?
People want to kill me, Nick.
Oh, it might be time for a rewatch of that whole. I have to imagine they're shooting season four.
I think the writing takes a long time because he's so particular about the weirdness of. By the way, we're talking. I think you should leave. I did get my replacement bumper sticker because it fell off.
Cow TV.
I support Cow TV.
Oh, the Safari flaps. I gotta get back to that Facebook group. I'm back on Facebook. That was the other big news. And all the pages that I ran, I can't take administrative permissions
can I,
back.
So. I never even tried. Can I give you administrative permissions
try,
back?
Try.
I haven't tried. I will do
I'd
that.
I'd love to start posting Cinema Gush memes again.
Yeah.
What else? Was there anything else? I started Ghosts, but I haven't been able to play it at all because things have been crazy here.
Ghosts. I don't know. What?
The Ghost of Sushi.
Tsushima.
Just a lot of Lost Ruins of Arnak, man. That game is so insanely satisfying.
I've been playing through Baldur's Gate 3 just at the end of Act 1. Oh, it's effing brilliant. Thing is, I'm not in love with D&D combat, so I basically turned it on easy and just enjoy the fact that this puts Mass Effect's decision trees to shame. It's great.
Cool.
Dude, have you seen anybody play this thing?
I watched a little like video game donkey of it. I know I'm going to get a chance to play it at some point, so I'm kind of just biding my time a little.
I'm shocked at the branching trees of choices that it gives you. I mean, I cast Talk to Animal and started a relationship with the first squirrel I found. It's crazy.
That's funny, man. Gosh. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Reminds me of in Warcraft 2, if you click the sheep too much, it explodes. I don't know why that reminds me of that.
Oh, you know, speaking of Warcraft, I did start playing Final Fantasy 14 when it came out on the Xbox.
Hey, there you go. How is it?
It's an MMO, but I'm playing with my buddy and I'm having a great time.
That's good.
Yeah.
I saw a leak of what Final Fantasy 9 could look like from NVIDIA, and I was just like, I'm like, this is the reason why I want to diet, exercise, and not smoke, so that I could someday put on a VR suit and walk around Lumblum and Alexandria and just
be
with
me in Final Fantasy 8, man. Yeah.
You had quite the visceral reaction to that AI of Final Fantasy 8. It made you feel weird, I think you said?
Yeah, I don't know.
For anyone who doesn't know, with some of the mid-journey art, you can, like, update Final Fantasy. Like, you can update anything to look crazy good. And this one channel that I follow did a Zelda one that is like oh my gosh, I hope the movie looks like this. And then he also did Final Fantasy VIII, which I then forwarded to Brendan, and Brendan was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
I know, I just don't know how I feel about it.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. No, I am dangerously close to having to buy a PlayStation because I keep waiting for Sony to give up on the exclusivity of that one because they never, it's like, they'll say, yeah, it's not really exclusive. And then they say, oh, but it is exclusive. Ah, but, you know, it could come out on other consoles. Ah, but no, it's Sony exclusive.
Sony's all like, you will never get this. You will never get this.
Sounds like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is amazing.
My gosh. There are clips now online of people just crying.
Don't! Stop! I can't believe how hard I've worked to not... I've not even watched a trailer for it.
I wasn't gonna say anything that big of a deal. Just like the open space.
Scene spoilers somewhat.
No, there's just a scene where like, oh, what is it called? The main overview, overworld music. Like, there's a certain green forest place that you get to, and everybody just like cries when they get there. And I'm like, really?
I've heard it captures that feeling we had when we were 8, 9, 10 playing Final Fantasies on the Nintendo and this PlayStation, and that like. That expansive world feeling, and that has been missing from my life for a long time, and I want it. I want it back. Give it to me.
Give it to me, Neil. Real quick, just to follow up, that Judas game, the Bioshock in Space 1, is planned for March 31st, 2025 on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, and Windows.
Hot diggity daffodil.
Oh, I'm excited. I did see the Borderlands trailer, and it looks like hot trash, and I'm super excited. And then finally, I've been going to PTE for the last couple of weeks for my herniated disc and my bulging disc. And my doctor, Dan, I doubt you're hearing this, but hello if you are, talks about Reacher all the time. And
I've heard good things.
And I watched the pilot, and I was like, I told him today, as he was working on my hips, I said, this show, I've only seen one episode, but this show has already filled the 24 size hole in my heart that Jack Bauer left behind.
Oh, that's good to know. Good to know.
So, so I'm excited. I'm going to keep going down that one. I just watched the pilot the other night, but Alan Richardson is, I mean, he's just one of the most beautiful men. Like, he's a gorgeous looking guy.
I've heard his name floated a lot for James Gunn Batman.
I think, personally, he would be a better Superman.
Mm. I'm really happy with who they cast as Superman.
Who did they pick again?
Corn Sweat.
Oh my gosh, his name is Corn Sweat. Holy shit.
Right? I got that right, right?
You did. David Corn Sweat. What the hell is he in? Oh, Pearl. I never saw Pearl.
I did.
Tell me.
Wasn't for me. I did X and Pearl back to back.
None of those are for me.
Not for me. Although he was the best part of the movie, and I saw it, I thought he'd be a good Superman.
It's not like Midsommar, right? Those movies?
No, I love Midsommar.
I just mean like the style.
No, Pearl and X is definitely going more for that grindhouse feel, whereas Midsommar is definitely going art house.
Okay.
Whereas, so, Ari Aster, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
His movies are dark. But X and Pearl felt grimy. Like, it made me feel gross.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does. Which reminds me, somebody brought this up. Did you know that on Max now, there is just a flat A24 section?
I did not know that.
Yep, they just debuted it this past week.
Fantastic.
Yep, just letting you should know. And then now I'm seeing a poster for the Batman 2, and I just got really excited.
Is it an official one? They haven't released an official one, have they?
They haven't, but they're saying March 2025.
Interesting.
What the hell? Folks, we've gone off on way too many tangents. The point, all I'm trying to say is that Drive was good the second time around. That's all I was trying to say. We probably talked more about all this other stuff and not, that's fine. This is what we love. This is what we love to do.
All right. Well, we're talking about Dune next week, and then maybe I'll try to watch Contact sometime.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. That's what it was. So, we got a message from Dr. Tullius. Dr. Tullius has now seen both the... Yep. DT. I like that. He said he has now seen The Godfather, and he understands why people love it and say it's the greatest film of all time. He said, but Road to Perdition is a better film.
Interesting. Hot take.
So I'm thinking, here's what I propose. I said, we need to find somebody who diehard loves The Godfather, greatest film of all time, and have them debate. Oof. So if you think you're that person, give us a call at CinemaGush at 1-800-SPANK-ME.
Now, let me put it this way. I deeply, deeply love The Road to Perdition, but I have a hard time saying it's better than The Godfather.
Mm-hmm. That's why I thought it'd be a very interesting episode.
Ooh, that could be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is what we call putting a bug in your ear.
Cool.
Sweet.
Well, go see Dune. See Dune. And I'm saying this to Nick, but I'm saying this to you. If you're listening to this. Last time I said this is because I needed you to, because I needed it to make money so that we could get part two. Now I'm doing it for you. This is for you. Go see Dune. Treat
and
yourself.
As the lyrics to the Dune theme goes, come get your dinner. That's what the lady sings, right? Have you heard that joke?
No. But yes, no? It is what it must be. I'll go with yes.
That one, huh?
Yeah.
If you say, come get your dinner.
Spicy.
All right, everybody. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.